History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers all across Australia. You're with Matt Prater. On the line right now, we're chatting with US singer-songwriter Sean McDonald. Now, I've been a big fan of Sean's music for many years and actually got a chance to catch up with him at Easterfest a couple of years ago. Saw him perform live, got to interview him on the stage there, and it is great to catch up with him again. How you doing, old mate Sean?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Very good, mate. You probably don't remember me. You probably get interviewed all the time.
We do that, yes.
Do you have fond memories of Australia when you visited us?
Always fond memories. Mm-hmm. It's a place where I can call home, I think, very easily.
Yeah.
I love the culture and just kind of the laid-back lifestyle. I love to surf myself and just I love it when people take life at a little slower pace than hustle all the time, and I feel like you guys kind of get that.
Yeah, we do. We love it, absolutely. Now, you've got a new album out, The Analog Sessions, and some very cool stuff, celebrating a whole bunch of your great tracks over the years. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let's find out a bit of the Sean McDonald story. You had a bit of a few rough patches in your earlier years. For those who don't know about what life was like as a young fella, tell us about what life was like as a young Sean McDonald.
Well, I was raised by my grandparents, and the reason for that is my parents were young when I was born, and they just weren't ready for a baby, and they didn't want a child. It wasn't a planned pregnancy, and so anyways, they were going to put me up for adoption, and my grandparents kind of stepped in and said, hey, we'll raise him, and so that became my life. That became my story, and I was being raised by my dad's parents. So I still saw my parents, like, on holidays, they would come around and here and there, but I never went home with them. And as a young kid, it was super confusing, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know I didn't even know what it meant. I took it personal, and as I grew up, I just became pretty angry and bitter. And whatnot, and I started lashing out and kind of just doing things that were just, I wasn't thinking correctly. And reality was, I was just kind of trying to numb the pain that I felt, this story that was given to me. I was kind of trying to run from it. It hurt me, and rightly so, it should have. When I was about 20 years old, I was living next door to this kid when I was in college, and I was trying to pursue that and trying to do something with my life, but failing miserably at it. This guy next door just started kind of sharing this gospel with me. He started telling me about this guy named Christ and telling me about his life and the way he loved people and how he brought freedom and healed our hearts. And he just started telling me this, and it was like 9 months maybe went by, before it really started to sink in. But when I was around 20, I kind of took up my own journey and I started pursuing Christ, and that's kind of where my whole musical journey started, because I started writing music out of a reflection of just the journey that I was on and the things I was feeling and thinking and whatnot.
Well, I still remember the first time I heard one of your songs on the radio in Australia. It was the song Gravity. And I remember my daughter and I used to sing along, Gravity is pulling me on down. And we used to sing along with it and used to just think, you've got a fresh sound that you brought to Christian music. You've got that kind of acoustic feel. What are your influences when it comes to music?
Well, early on, I listened to like a lot of Cat Stevens and Simon and Garfunkel and Bob Dylan and Moody Blues. And I was even into like Pearl Jam and Nirvana and all that stuff as a kid. That was the music I grew up on, and I wasn't a believer. So that was my impact. That was my bed of music. And so as I started writing and as a believer, I just was like, I felt like there was a lack of that kind of music, throughout, at least in the Christian world. So I just kind of started making music that I loved, and trying to write songs that I
that were pure and honest and were reflections of my life, and you know, and that's what I guess I do today.
And I also understand some of your influences have been attributed to travels to Israel and Zimbabwe. Now, I've actually got my first trip to Israel this year. I'm so excited about. Tell us, what was that trip to Israel like for you?
It was really incredible. It was very eye-opening. It was weird to wake up in a land that you read about in a book. It's, you know, like, it was just weird. It's like I was in the storybook, in a sense. You know, you read about the sea, like, you know, like Sea of Galilee, and the, you know, like all these things that, like, you know, like the Wailing Wall I had heard about throughout my life, and the city of Jerusalem, and, you know, we got to go to a lot of different things. I even got to go to, like, the Nativity and where in Bethlehem and Palestine, and just kind of see what the country was like, and for me, it just kind of brought it to life. It allowed me to kind of feel like it made the stories more alive, because I kind of understood the culture a little more, I guess, if that makes any sense. But it's a very beautiful place, like crazy lush. I didn't expect, I was thinking it was going to be like a desert. And, you know, it had its moments, but it's lots of palm trees and very tropical. You're super old, it's crazy ancient, and very just beautiful.
And then on the other influence from some of your songwriting was from your trip to Zimbabwe. What was that like?
It was a whole nother end of the like spectrum, and that was a crazy trip for me. And I if I remember correctly, I flew from Australia. Like, I was doing a tour in Australia. I flew from Australia to Zimbabwe. And I went into the bush for 2 weeks with World Vision, and went into just the most poverty-stricken, like, worlds. Like, we were staying in small, like, very minimal huts, and just kind of engulfed in a world where there was no food, where there was hardly any clean water, and lots of orphans, and just saw, like, a whole another world. And then I flew out of Zimbabwe to land on landed in San Diego, and jumped on a cruise ship and, like, went down into, like, the south on a cruise ship where people just had more food than they knew what to do with. And I was just, it was like seriously like one of the weirdest times for me. But it was very eye-opening, and just made me take for, like, show me kind of, I wrote a few songs out of that experience, and kind of just gave me a whole nother perspective on what we truly need in life, and just, you know, like, just we have so much excess, I guess, and so it was just very eye-opening.
And I know that you're originally from a beautiful part of the States, Eugene, Oregon. I've actually spent a few days there visiting.
Oh, random.
Sorry?
No, I said that's random. Such a random place for you to go.
Yeah, well, I'm good friends with Pastor Wayne Cadero, who runs the New Hope Christian Bible College there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I went. It used to be Eugene Bible College, and spent a few days there.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Loved the cafes and beautiful little bookshops, and very cool little town. Where are you based these days?
I'm in Ohio, which is a little almost more east.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Okay, now this new album, The Analog Sessions, it's really some of the best of stuff that you've done. Tell us about this new project.
Well, my A&R kind of brought this project to my attention, and they really wanted, they just felt like I was in a new season of music and a new season of life, and they just kind of wanted to rewrite the story. And so their way of doing that was just like, let's do a best of, kind of this is where it's been, and let's go from here. And so they brought this project to me, and they were just going to re-release the song that we'd already released, and I just didn't like the idea. I was like, I just don't think that's a smart idea. I don't think anybody wants that. You know, like, so I feel like people are going to already have it, and then they'll just download the two new songs. It seemed like a waste of time to me. So I really just kind of, you know, we went back and forth and wrestled with the idea, and they eventually kind of came forth and said, well, you know, we'll let you re-record these, but we're going to have to just kind of keep it minimal and whatnot. And so they gave us a small budget to do it, and then so we started kind of brainstorming them of how we can do this, and one of the brainstorms was my producer just mentioned he had found this old analog studio that wasn't crazy priced, and we could rent it for a couple days, and as long as we knew our songs, we could go in there and get it done in a couple days. And so I had never really even thought of a project like this. I didn't realize this kind of studio even still existed. And so we did that. We rented it and we practiced the songs. And if people don't realize what analog is, it's where music has come from. We used to record the tape. There was no computers involved. There was just a lot of analog equipment and whatnot. And it's a very way more takes way more finesse and a lot more gear, and it's a lot more complicated. And that's probably partly why people don't do it anymore, because recording with digital has gotten so easy that anybody can do it from their house. I've heard people say this, but it was way warmer and richer, and the tones that came out of it were more natural. You didn't have to manipulate them to make them sound good. They just already sounded that way. You just had to be good at your instrument. You had to actually be able to play it, which was very challenging, because we played all the songs live. And we did one-time take, so it was just a challenging project, and I think it turned out good. I'm proud of it anyhow, and it's just no tricks, you know, just kind of the way music is and the way we play them live, and yeah.
I remember when I first started in radio, we used to use reel-to-reel machines. Was that the kind of recording equipment you had?
Yeah. I believe that's the same thing. It's like the big, huge reels with tape on them.
Yeah.
And they used to go through this machine and record to it. It was crazy. If we did rewind something, it was the craziest sound I've ever heard. You'd actually hear the tape rewinding. It was really interesting.
Oh, wow. Well, it's so funny because, you know, a lot of the new, younger guys these days wouldn't know about all this old school stuff. And it's like, I remember speaking to a kid the other day. He said, "Oh, I went to this disco and the DJ had these big black CDs he was playing. It was so cool." the LP albums.
Yeah, you didn't know what a record was.
Never seen a record before. Isn't that bizarre?
that is really bizarre.
Now,
I think it's coming back, though.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of coming back. It is here, anyways.
Very cool. Now,
which is a good thing. Yeah.
I've got to say, there's a few of your songs that I've actually had our worship team perform at our church over the years, because I just think that there's such great lyrics and got such a great vibe. Like, one of the songs I love is Take My Hand.
Okay.
And I like what it says on your website. It said that you put a fresh coat of paint on already celebrated songs like Take My Hand and Closer and some of these other ones. Firstly, just tell me about the song Take My Hand. I love how it says Take My Hand to the Promised Land and I Need You, Lord. You know, what a great message. What's the heart behind that song, Take My Hand?
Man, honestly, that's one of the funny ones that I've written over the years, and that's one of the stumble songs. I was experimenting with new rhythms and like kind of just playing around with new melodies, and that was so different to comparative to everything else that I was doing at the time. I was really heavily influenced by like Cat Stevens, so some of my early stuff was very, very melancholy singer songwriter stuff, and then I stumbled onto that, and a friend of mine actually. Dude, that whatever you're doing right there, that is fresh. That is cool. You should keep doing that. And so that's kind of like, it's kind of funny in the creating process. Sometimes we just, you know, those things kind of just birth out of us. So that's one of those songs that kind of just came out of a very, I was like trying to define and figure out who I was as a writer. And I always try to incorporate all my lyrics. I try to be honest and real, and you know, like, if I've learned anything over the years, it's that, like, you know, we can't do it on our own, you know.
Yeah.
Like it takes Christ in our life to get us through to these other places, and so I think you'll find that theme throughout most of my songs as time goes on, because I keep coming back to that. That's key.
And I've got to say too, I do love, I've heard some of your live stuff before where you do a bit of scatting at the end of the songs and in the middle of the songs. I just think we need a bit more scat in songs these days. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, it's definitely a niche. You have to be making a certain kind of music for it to work.
Yeah.
And it's very jazz influenced. It comes out of that place. And in fact, it's another one of those things I just stumbled upon over the years. And it was the weirdest thing there. I growing up in Eugene or going to school there and stuff, there's just a very collective group of people there. It's very hippie, very just different to a lot of the other places in the States. And so there, on top of that, there's a lot of really quirky, interesting music. And I remember one day I was just walking down the street and there was this old guy. Like, he looked like he came out of like the Clampets or Out of the Hills. I don't even know.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, no, really, like the full-on hillbilly, big old beard, had this old chinky guitar and this weird hat, and he was just sitting there doing this dum-dum-da-dum-dum, like scat thing, and I just thought it was so cool. And so I kind of just started dabbling around with my own scat and adding it to songs, and then... Yeah, it became what it was.
That's very cool. We love what you do. Well, mate, I'm so looking forward to hearing it. I might get into iTunes and buy it myself. It's called The Analog Sessions, and it's the new album from Sean McDonald. Mate, you're also on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You've got all those links on your website as well. Mate, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tweet you now and say, listen out to the interview in Australia. Can you retweet it for me? Is that all right?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to.
Very cool. So it's at Matt Prater. I'll tweet you right now. And, mate, I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing so many great songs over the last 10 years and looking forward to hearing 10 more great years of you in the future. God bless you, mate. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.